So you may have heard this story before. I think at this point it's an apocryphal story told in churches, but don't stop me if you have. But there was a Sunday school teacher who was talking to her class of first graders, and she asked them to describe for her what a Christian is like. What's a Christian like? She asked. And a bunch of hands shot up in the room, but she pointed at a little boy sitting towards the back. And he said, a Christian is someone who is calm and doesn't argue and doesn't get angry and doesn't talk back. He then added, my daddy's a good Christian, but my mommy's not. So I think it's fair to say that much like this little boy, we all have opinions about the kind of person that the Christian faith churns out, don't we? And maybe if you're like me at all, you actually hold in your mind and in your heart contradictory ideas about the kind of people that the Christian faith churns out, spits out. Because I think maybe you've met those people out there who are sweet to the point of being sickeningly so. People who don't watch the news at night because they find it too racy. Who only watch reruns of Touched by an Angel on TBS because they're so put off by strong language and violence and other things that you see in the world. I wonder if maybe you've met those people. And professional Christian though I am, when I meet those people, even I say, you're a little bit too Christian, I think, even for my taste. A little bit too Christian. But then I think we also meet those people out there who carry their faith around like a cudgel, right? And they just want to beat you over the head with it. They think the world is the enemy, and so they're always ready to argue and fight and judge and condemn. Do you know those people too? I think at this point he's kind of my whipping boy, but the guy from the church around the corner who shows up to our Bible studies to recruit us to his church, he shows up to our Easter services to proselytize to us because I don't think we talk enough about the rapture for his taste at our church. Folks like him, and I give him the same diagnosis as I gave the first person. I say, maybe you're a little bit too Christian. Maybe if you just backed off the Christianness a little much, you'd be on to something good, but where you're at I don't think is a healthy level of being Christian. Two different people, two entirely different characters, but we give them the same diagnosis. They're too Christian. So enter into this way of thinking. Enter the Apostle Paul from today's reading. He's walking around the city of Athens. He's taking in all its statuary that they have there. He's taking in statues of Athena, the goddess of wisdom, Aphrodite, the goddess of love, Zeus, the god of thunder, the king of the gods, a great bearded dude, taking in all these things. And the scripture tells us that he's deeply troubled by what he believes is the idolatry that is running rampant around him. Deeply troubled. So the word in today's story that's being translated as deeply troubled is a word, and I apologize because I'm going to pronounce this Greek word with an upstate New York accent. Paroxenato, which literally means to be provoked. So Paul is walking around the city of Athens. He's seeing all these statues that represent to him idols of false gods, and he's feeling provoked by them. He's getting triggered by them. He's agitated. He's aggravated. And it's from this word, in fact, paroxenato, that we get the English word paroxysm. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a spasm. It's a fit. It's an outburst of emotion. A spasm of emotion. So I'm enjoying the image of Paul kind of strolling through the streets of Athens and his right eye kind of twitching because he's so agitated and worked up by all the idolatry that he sees before him. But it's in this worked up state that he joins in a debate with some Stoic and Epicurean philosophers. And he starts talking about Jesus, and he starts talking about this resurrection business, and they don't know what to make of it. So they drag him before the high council of Athens. And what does Paul do when he's confronted by these Athenians, these people who represent a religion that he is entirely against, entirely opposed to? Does he shout Bible verses at them? No, he doesn't do that. Does he just scream his views all the louder against them? No, he doesn't do that. He compliments them. He compliments them. The first thing he says to them, he says, I have noted that you are very religious people, as evidenced by all these altars that I've seen through the city, all this statuary. I've seen you're a very religious people. So even though he doesn't agree with their religion, he can note something good in them. He can see that they're people of faith, and he can admire that a little bit. And it's exactly by looking at what is good in these people that he's able to make a connection with them. And he uses that connection to share with them his own faith. So he says, you know, I was strolling around admiring how religious all you people are, and I saw this altar to an unknown God. And that God that you've been worshiping as unknown all these years, that's the God I'm trying to talk to you about. That's the God I'm trying to explain with all this Jesus talk, with all this resurrection talk. And then he launches into what is a rather long but rather famous sermon. And it's famous in the Christian world because it uses Greek philosophical categories to share the gospel with the Athenians. So he uses their own language to share the gospel message with them. So it's lifted up as what we should do as Christians when we're talking to the other people about our faith. We should use their language, not ours. But I'm struck by the fact that in this encounter, Paul, who is a Christian among Christians, Paul, who started 15 or so of the earliest Christian communities, Paul, whose writings fill the New Testament, he is an exemplar of Christian character. He is neither aggressive in his treatment of the Athenians, but nor does he shrink away from sharing his thoughts with them. So what kind of person does the Christian faith turn out? If Paul is to be our example, we see that our faith is one, our character is one that should be provoked by the things that we see around us. When we see racial discrimination and homophobia being normalized in our nightly newscast by the words and the tweets of our elected officials, yeah, you should feel a little bit provoked by that sort of thing. When you've been working hard all your life, busting your butt, and some Wall Street millionaire loses your pension and somehow manages to enrich themselves in the process, you should be a little bit provoked by that sort of thing. When there's yet another mass shooting with an automatic weapon, and our nation has taken no step whatsoever towards a solution since the last one. Granted, it was just about a few weeks before that. You should feel a little bit provoked by that sort of thing when you see it. But as provoked as Paul was, he didn't lash out in anger towards what was provoking him. He responded rather with compassion and with love towards it. He didn't try to tear down those with whom he disagreed, but rather he tried to find what was to love in them, and he tried to connect with that part of them. As Christians, we're supposed to be provoked by the world around us, but we're supposed to be provoked to love. We're supposed to be provoked and agitated and worked up and riled up to loving action and loving engagement. And the problem, I think, with the two examples of people that I lifted up in the beginning, those who are just so sweet and so delicate because of their faith that they shrink away from the world, and those who carry their faith around like a cudgel, their problem is actually not that they're too Christian. Their problem is that they're not Christian enough. Because Paul's character here isn't something that he created. It's based on God's own character. That's where Paul's temperament is coming from. Because God's character is one that looks at the brokenness of the world. It doesn't shrink away from the brokenness, nor does it lash out at the brokenness. But what does God do when confronted with the brokenness of the world? God sends Jesus into it, love in human form, into the world to seek us, to save us, and to set us free. So to let your character be formed by your faith, by the Christian faith, is to have that movement that looks at brokenness and responds not in anger, not by pulling away, but responds by reaching out in love. That's what it means to have a Christian character. So friends, today I invite you to go into the world, get worked up by it, get agitated by it, get riled up by it, get provoked by it. And then just like Paul did, and just like God does, love the heck out of it once you do. Amen.